for the Lord Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, our King, the one whom we serve, the one whom we follow, the one whom we seek to be like. We praise you that his Spirit dwells in each of us as believers in him today. And we pray that as we sing these songs, as we hear your word preached, as we pray together, that all the things that are done in this hour and beyond will bring honor and glory to your name, will fix our eyes on you, will draw us closer to you, will fill us with greater power as we yield more to your Spirit. We praise you, Father. You've given us all that we need, and we thank you that we have one another as well. You have given us to each other as a body here at our fellowship. And we pray that as we walk together, as we worship together here, that we'll be drawn closer to each other as well as closer to you. Encouraged in our faith, strengthened, and ready to go out into the battle that we face again today and through this week. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time together and for calling us all here. We commit the hour to you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hymn 527 as we continue our worship. 527. I know whom I have believed.
Sure. This is from Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can be in your house again on this Lord's Day. We thank you for all of your wonderful love and mercy and grace to us, for keeping us through another week, and for watching over us and helping us. And we pray that you will just continue to guide us in every step that we take, that we might glorify your name. Lord, we pray today for those who are going through difficult times. We know there's some that are still ill with this COVID virus and with other things. We pray that you would undertake for that, and those who are suffering in one way or another. We thank you for our church. Thank you for each one of us. And we do want to pray for one another. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to guide us and lead us as we seek to make that more easily done with the prayer chain and all the rest. We do pray, our Father, that you will guide us as we look into your word today, that we might truly rejoice in all that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know that we have salvation, that we are your children, that you guide us day by day, that we have the Holy Spirit living within us to guide us in the way we ought to go. Praise your holy name, Lord. We just thank you so much. And we pray now that you will guide and help us as a nation. We think of our situation. We know that there's a lot going on in the world today. We think of the situation over in the Ukraine and what's going to happen there. We just hope and pray that there will not be a war, but yet we don't know what might be. Help our leaders to have the wisdom and understanding and the right thinking about this situation. And in our own country, too, with all that's going on, we just pray that you will help us to make wise decisions, that your will would be done. Lead us and help us, O Father, that we might love you and serve you as we should. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Martin Luther said, in the whole Bible, there's hardly another chapter which can equal this triumphant text. So this is an important part of God's Word. The book of Romans, of course, is the centerpiece, I guess, for the whole New Testament at least. And we find here the results of justification. We're going to look at these first 11 verses. Now, the second part has to do the comparison between the two Adams, Adam and Christ, and the difference there. But the first part that we're looking at, we've been looking at justification, right? Justification by faith. And how many times it says that over and over again, right? You might say, well, what are you doing? You're repeating yourself. Well, all I'm doing is reading the scriptures, right? And faith. That is the most important thing. We sung about it this morning, right? And how wonderful it is that we can believe God. You know, we were talking about in Sunday school this morning when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, tempted Eve especially. She placed her faith in the wrong thing, right? She failed to believe God and took Satan at his word. Now, he was dressed up in a nice pretty serpent back in those days, right? And no doubt beautiful and very believable. He's deceitful. But anyway, we find that faith is so very important. And we have seen here that all people, in the first part of the book of Romans, everyone has fallen into sin because of Adam's sin and because of our own following in his footsteps, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is what? Death. And so we have to have an answer to all that. And we find it here so clearly presented that Jesus died in our place that we might live through him, right? He gives us his life that we might have eternal life, that we might have salvation, that we might be justified by faith in him. So this is what we're talking about here, the need that man has and the answer that God gives. It's very clear. So often man wants to take some other way, right? There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the way in thereof are the ways of death. Still in the same place, aren't you? Right? We're dead in trespasses and sins. But God offers another way through Jesus. And his coming into this world, his dying on the cross to take away our sins, And when we put our faith and trust in him, we have everlasting life. We have justification. We are made righteous in the sight of God. We are declared righteous, rather. God declares us to be righteous. That's what justification means, that how through the sacrifice of Christ, we are declared righteous. And what do we get from that then? He says here, therefore, being justified by faith, or having been justified by faith, it says in some translations, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that we see here is that we have peace with God. That's what everyone wants, isn't it? This is the believer's new position and relationship with God. Before, we were at enmity with God, right? That means warfare. There's contrast there. They're not in agreement. But being justified by faith, that is when we place our faith in Christ as our Savior, God gives us his peace, right? Peace with God. No more warfare. It's all done away with. And true peace, I think, is the most sought-after thing in the world. It's just that no one knows where to find it unless they look into the book. And they can find it there through what God has done for us. People search for all kinds of things. They search for riches, and for all the things that doesn't satisfy. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He told us that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's no reason to look anywhere else, is there? Why should we? You know, people look all over trying to find some way to be at peace with God. And it tells us right here in the Scriptures exactly how we can receive that. It's by our faith in Christ, accepting his sacrifice for us. And we can have this peace as he gives it to us. The dictionary says that peace is the agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war or in a state of hostility. So the Bible tells us that every person is at war with God and needs to find the answer. So let's look in Romans 8 for a minute. Get a little ahead of ourselves here. Romans 8 and verse 7. It says, verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the earthly mind, is enmity against God. It's at war with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So here we have the answer. God has made peace. He has made peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can come to him and put our faith and trust in him. All we have to do is accept his conditions, to admit our guilt, and to receive the Lord Jesus as our sacrifice, as our Savior, as our Lord. And there we are justified, declared righteous, and have peace with God. God has forgiven us in Christ, and we are accepted by him as Christ is accepted by the Father. We are in Christ, and so therefore we are accepted in the same way. Look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 13. Ephesians 2:13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity," the warfare, "even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So we are justified, declared righteous, and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. It's an established fact, and we receive it as such. Notice also he says that we have access in verse 2. "By whom," by Christ, "also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We have access to the throne of God. We have access to the Father through the Lord Jesus. That's how we can enter in. And it's by faith that we enter into the grace of God. Scripture says that for by grace are you saved through faith. So here we have, it's the faith that we place in the Lord Jesus that we are have access to God. Through Christ, we can come into his presence. We can enter into the very presence of God. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So here we have access to the presence of God through the Lord Jesus and through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. This access is, it's like, the word here is used like when you are entering into the presence of royalty. Someone perhaps has to give you the introduction and how you can get into the very presence of God. And who can do that? Who opens up the way so that you can enter into the presence of God? It's only through someone of the same nature, isn't it? Someone who is qualified, the Lord Jesus himself, second person of the Trinity, can give us access to the Father because he has paid the price for our sins. And we have this wonderful opportunity. We can come to him at any time. We have access. It's amazing to think that at any time of the day or night, you can enter into the presence of God through Jesus. And it's wonderful to have that privilege, you know, to think that we can pray and ask God to help us in everything, and we put our faith and trust in him. And it says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Joy. Peace, joy. All of these wonderful qualities that we have because we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and in his salvation. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And when it says hope there, it means a confident assurance. This is what we are looking at. God has promised us this, and it will not fail. So we have joy. We rejoice in hope. You know, a person without Christ doesn't have any hope. What's he hoping in? He's looking, you know, to everything else, but according to the Word of God, Christ is the only one. He's the only way. And our hope and our trust and our confidence must be in him. And that gives us true joy to know that we are redeemed. We're saved. We have eternal life. What's not to have joy? Come on. Let's be joyful and rejoice in all that Christ has done for us. Those who have been justified by faith can rejoice truly in the Lord and in all that he does for us. So Christian joy is reinforced to us through trials and suffering. Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty here. You know, it's easy to rejoice in the Lord, right? And all of his goodness to us and grace and mercy. But here he says in verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Wow. Tribulations, trials and testings, sicknesses, deaths. All these things that we seek to avoid at all costs, right? Try to stay away as far away from these things as we can, but he says tribulations. We rejoice, we glory. We glory in tribulations. How is that possible? Well, he explains it. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It gives us that sense of endurance, how we can keep on going, you know. If you didn't have a trial, how would you know you could stand up under it? Huh? There you go. So these trials show us that we can make it because God is real. He's there, and he'll see us through. I saw that little testimony of this lady that Kathy was talking about, Julie Henning, and she was talking about how she started out so poor and everything, and how she prayed to God. She knew there was God there someplace, and he led her and helped her through all that, and she came out. Was adopted by this missionary, Pearl Buck, and everything changed. And God blessed her in such a wonderful way. I thought that was great. And here we have the joy that the Lord can bring to our hearts as we look to him in the midst of trials and tribulations. The whole Bible is full of that, isn't it? You know, you see all these different examples of these people that suffered and then God brought them out. Joseph over in Egypt there in prison, and yet he came out and became one of the leaders there in the nation, and God blessed him in such a marvelous way. And so many others. We've been looking at Daniel, right? We'll get to this about the lion's den, right? And yet God brought him out, closed the mouths of the lions, and saw him through. So when things look bad, we just need to keep trusting, right? Faith, that's what it takes. Keep on trusting and let God work it out. So we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience or endurance, and patience works experience. It helps us to go on down the road and experience hope. So as God answers our prayers, as we go along, we find that we can put our faith and trust in him. We can hope and know that he will see us through. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What a wonderful gift, what a wonderful blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit living in you to guide you and lead you, right? And the love of God is working in and through each one of us. We find here that all these things, the experiences of life and all that we have to go through, and sometimes it gets very difficult, and yet we need to keep putting our faith and trust in the Lord. It's all about that. And we can look to him for the all that we need, the love of God working. Because, he says, verse 6, when we were yet without strength, as low as you can go. You know, when you get down there, when we were yet without strength, we had nowhere else to turn. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See? He didn't die for the righteous, did he? He died for the sinner, for the ungodly. And that's all of us. We have to admit that. And it says we were without strength. There was nothing. Nothing we could do except say, yes. Yes, Lord. Put your faith and trust in him. If you've never put your faith in Christ, that's all it takes. Surrender. Say yes. And he will save you if you'll put your faith and trust in him. It goes on, it says in verse 7, look. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet maybe for a good man someone would dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see? He didn't have to do it. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He never had an evil thought. And yet, he took our place, didn't he? With all of our ungodliness, with all of our sin, he took our place that we might have salvation. So, God loved us that much. And now he says in verse 9, much more then, okay, we understand that part, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So that's what it takes, right? We have to put our faith in him, and he shed his blood on the cross that we might be declared righteous in the sight of God. And we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, we always like to think about the love of God. It's a wonderful thing, right? And yet, we have to also think about the wrath of God that's coming. You know, God is exceedingly patient, and yet not forever. The wrath of God is coming, and we need to make sure that we are not on the wrong side of that, you know. So we need to be justified by the blood of Christ. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's only just begun, hasn't it? So we were enemies. We were on the wrong side. We were fighting against God and trying to go our own way. And we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Reconciled. What does that mean? Well, you know, if a husband and wife are having a fight, you know, they're disagreeing on these things, and one of them goes one way and the other one goes the other way, and you know, they're separate, right? And they need to come back together. They need to be reconciled. It's like the warfare that we have with God. We have to be reconciled. Come back into that relationship with Him that we need so much. That God's love might be expressed to us. That we might give in and allow Him to be our Savior, our Redeemer. We are reconciled. And it says if we've already been reconciled by His death, we will be saved by His life. Huh? What does that mean? Jesus, you know, died on the cross, yes. But He's not there now. He arose. He arose again on the third day, and He lives forever. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and we shall be saved by His life. And His life is also in us when we place our faith in Him. And we can serve Him and do His will. And not only so, He says, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus, by whom we have now received the atonement. That word, atonement. If you break it down a little bit, at one meant, right? We've come back together. So that's reconciliation. We have been reconciled with God through Christ. And we have a relationship with Him. He is our Father, and we are His children because Jesus has opened up the way for us. He's made it possible. His atonement, His death, His shed blood for us. And we have eternal salvation through union with Him. And we can rejoice in all that. So put away the sadness and the sorrow and all of that, no matter what you may be going through, and rejoice that you are in Christ. Rejoice that you have the Holy Spirit. Rejoice that God is your Father and that you have salvation. That's what it's all about. Living by faith and trusting in Him. So if God so loved us when we were sinners, how much more must He love us now? We shall be saved from wrath, shall be saved by His life. We have received the atonement and been reconciled to God. Therefore, rejoice in Him. So in this passage, we see the three stages of the believer's life. In the past, he has been forgiven, justified, when he trusted in Christ. For the present, he's living in harmony with God, enjoying His blessings and favor. And for the future, he has the assurance of eternal life. Oh my, how wonderful it is. All of this is the result of justification by faith. So, what are you trusting in today? Who are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice, or are you trying to make it on your own, doing the best you can? You know, it's not enough. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and He will save you. He's promised that He would. I have here the Dr. Scofield had this seven results of justification. We just go through this once more as we close. We have peace with God. We have access by faith to God. We are rejoicing in hope. We are glorying in testings and trials. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. God's love is shed abroad in our hearts, and we are reconciled to God. That wonderful? Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. I hope and pray that each one of us will be encouraged and strengthened, blessed, as we think about these great privileges that we have, the benefits of justification. And may our faith be stronger. May we grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, and may we walk in fellowship with you. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice that has never trusted Jesus, we pray that this would be the time they would surrender to him, put their faith and confidence in him, and be born again by the Spirit of God. May your will be done, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.